The good news of God's love according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, he entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary, who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Please be seated. Jesus and his disciples are making their way to Jerusalem. When they get there, Jesus knows that he will be arrested, tried, tortured, and killed. Everything that Jesus says and does on this journey needs to be judged in light of that. When he's denied hospitality, he responds with gentleness and humility. When he sends 70 of his followers out into the unknown, he assures them that they will receive hospitality. Now he is the recipient of hospitality from two sisters. Now this is the only mention of Mary and Martha in all of the Gospel of Luke. The other stories about them that we know come from our fourth gospel and are much more detailed. That gospel talks about how they are close friends with Jesus and that they live with their brother Lazarus in the village of Bethany. In the Gospel of Luke, no village is named. There's no mention of a friendship, and there's no mention of a guy named Lazarus at all. The author may have chosen to leave him out of the story so that the women can both take on roles and responsibilities that in their culture would normally only have been granted to men. Martha welcomes Jesus into her home, not the home of her husband, her brother, her father. It's her household, and she is the head of it. Mary sits at the feet of Jesus as a faithful male disciple would do. Martha then becomes engaged in many tasks and gets irritated because her sister isn't helping with them. Martha's understanding of hospitality seems to be similar to that demonstrated by Abraham when God pays him a visit in the book of Genesis. Now, at this point in his story, Abraham has had a number of conversations with God, as well as a vision in which God appeared in the form of fire and smoke. Now, God comes in a more intimate and more personal way. We'll hear more of this story next Sunday, in which it is made clearer that the three men who visit are in fact two angels and God Almighty, the creator of heaven and earth. It really isn't clear if Abraham recognizes this when he first sees these three visitors. The respect that he shows to them would have been shown to any traveling strangers in an ancient culture such as his. After offering them a little bread, he then runs around his encampment, giving orders to everyone so that a feast can be set before them. And he is not rebuked by God for his busyness. But then these three strangers ask about Abraham's unseen wife, and they know her name. It's only when one of them repeats God's promise that she will give birth to a son that we can be sure Abraham now realizes that he has welcomed God into his home. Psalm 15 turns that around and asks if any of us, has the right to be welcomed into God's house. It makes no demand that we be pure and sinless, thank goodness, only that we treat one another with fairness and with love. God waits to be invited into Abraham's home. Jesus accepts Martha's invitation to come into hers. He makes no comment about her choices or her attitude until she forces him to do so. And then he speaks to her with gentleness. The fact that he says her name twice is meant to show that he has great compassion for her. He doesn't say that she made a bad choice. His concern is that she isn't at peace with the choice that she has made. Rather than knowing herself and being honest about her desires and her needs, she compares herself to her sister and judges Mary's choices. Mary's better part isn't the choice that she has made, it's her attitude to the choice that is praised. It's her self-acceptance and her peace of mind that cannot be taken away from her. We aren't told if Jesus's gentle rebuke is enough to empower Martha to relax and just be herself, but that's his invitation to all of us. This humble and compassionate man on his way to Jerusalem is praised in the letter to the Colossians as some kind of divine being created by God who then assists in the creation of the universe and binds all of it together. Although the Hebrew scriptures insist that there is only one God, they are very comfortable speaking about God sending God's word, sending God's spirit, or sending God's wisdom into the world. The book of Proverbs describes wisdom as a person created by God who then assists in creation and takes delight in God's work. Colossians adapts those ideas and applies them to Christ, speaking of him as a divine being separate from God who had a role in the creation of all things and in the reconciliation of those things to God. This letter does not understand Jesus as God in human form. It says, God has chosen to live within Christ, and Christ has chosen to live within us. So we don't have to wonder if we deserve to dwell in God's house. Because of Jesus, we can stand before God holy and blameless and irreproachable. Christ dwells in us so that we can dwell in God. Back in the Middle Ages, a woman named Julian of Norwich wrote of God being very courteous. As with Abraham, God waits to be invited into our homes and into our busy lives. God can be invited into our peace and quiet, and into all of the work that has to be done. God can fill our emptiness and isolation and calm our storms of distraction. We can invite God into a spacious afternoon. The busiest of mornings can start with us inviting God to guide us through it. Come, Lord Jesus, be our guest, and let our lives by thee be blessed.